Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, how are you doing today on, what is this, Friday, May 10th?
Yeah, doing well. Long few weeks. We're through the close of the portal now, but now kids are still deciding, and coaches are on the road doing evaluations, and then official visits start at the end of the month, and then camp season starts in less than a month for high school prospects across the country, but LSU will have a number of camps in June. So there is no off season. We are just continuing to roll along.
Yes. Yes. We are continuing to roll. I did a story on Charles Ross and JT Lindsey this morning. Went and watched their film. Very exciting players there. So if y'all want to go get my thoughts on them as players and prospects, two players that on three is higher than the rest of the industry. So I wanted to, look into that so that you can check that out and check out all the recruiting stuff that we have on the site. The Bengal Tiger on three, $1 for a month. And if you like it, subscribe for the year. So, all right, Shay. It's been
We also have the YouTube promo or the online promo.
Yeah.
You get 2 months for $1.
2 months. That's right.
It's what is it? LSU 2? LSU 1?
Damn. I had it. I don't know if I have it anymore. It's probably in our Slack.
LSU 2? Well, look, that's where we hang out every day. Yeah. We have been hanging out nonstop 24 hours a day the past few weeks, just answering questions about what they're doing in the portal, who they're kind of trending for with recruiting as they hold the number one class on the On3 industry rankings. They have the number two class. They're jockeying back and forth with Ohio State. But yes, for only $1, sign up, support us. We love doing all the YouTube and Spotify and podcasts and all that, but that's only about 30 minutes or an hour of each week. The rest of our week, we are on the Bengal Tiger, turning out stories, tidbits, recruiting updates, and sort of an inside look into everything that's going on and kind of get ahead of things. We had posted a number of stories this week where guys LSU was going to target in the portal and they end up offering. We'll talk about that in a minute, but
it's LSU one.
There you go. If you're listening, go to the Bengal Tiger on three, find the LSU page, the Bengal Tiger, 2 months for $1. Promo code LSU1. They get you 2 months for $1. We'd appreciate it. We've had a lot of new members, so thank y'all.
Yes. Oh, I just
well, let's start it off with the kind of drama of the week, Maddie B, that a 30-second clip out of a 30-minute interview went viral and people jumped all over it. And basically the national fan bases and some media run with that LSU is not willing to participate in NIL. And, Brian Kelly said, we're not here to pay players. If you're trying to get paid, this isn't where you need to be. I could talk about this for an hour. I'll try to make this as succinct as possible. Uh-huh. What Brian Kelly was talking about was the defensive tackles that came out in the spring portal who were asking for NIL opportunities, packages, however you want to put it, that were far more than anyone on LSU's roster. And to put into perspective, these tackles, in my opinion, I won't name names here, but people know who they are. They're not better than Mekhi Wingo. They're not better than Mason Smith, and they're not better than Jordan Jefferson. So you'd basically say, I have to promise nearly $1 million in NIL opportunities to a player who would have been fourth in the rotation last year. That makes no sense. And Brian Kelly and LSU should not do that. We saw Texas back off for the exact same reasons. They leaked it to where ahead of time, their media were all like, these guys are asking for more than Quinn Ewers gets in NIL deals. And he's the star quarterback of the team. Yeah. So if this were the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams or someone, like, okay, maybe that's the difference between maybe getting in the playoffs and not.
Yeah.
A D tackle who's in the rotation for you is not the difference between the playoffs and not. When you toss in that you've got other issues on defense and you've got a whole new staff where you're learning what they want from you, that's going to take time and have road bumps. Like, I know we're in the offseason. I know they're chasing DTs. We'll talk about it in a second. But what Brian Kelly meant was we're not paying or promising NIL opportunities like that to DTs who are not of that value. And the lesson learned here is don't wait till the spring portal window, because it was not the wild, wild west where like every good player was going in. It wasn't that at all. It was a bunch of guys who you were like, okay, that's a Jordan Jefferson type of ad from a year ago.
Yeah.
If Jordan Jefferson came out in the spring portal this window, he would have been the highest paid guy in it.
Yeah. To your point of not waiting till the spring window, I think back and I think I saw some people talking about it, but like Walter Nolan, the transfer from A&M, did not command the
set. No, he got – I was told that Walter Nolan, by a very trusted source, went to Ole Miss for a little more than a third of what those guys were asking in the second window. And those guys couldn't touch Walter Nolan.
Exactly. Like, that's the difference here. So that's where you get – and, I mean, I'm not blaming the players because it is a fully, like, desperation mode for a lot of these teams, Oklahoma, Texas, LSU – and so you try to push as far as you can, or as far as you can as a player, to get as much as you can. Sure, whatever. But for LSU and for Brian Kelly not to meet that demand is not an indictment on LSU. I do think, like, in big picture, obviously they should have approached this differently from the start. Like, they should have been more proactive early. If you were unsure at all about Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo coming back, you had to address this in the winter, like in the first period of the portal. So that's the biggest lesson here. They're going to end up adding someone, and we'll talk about that soon. Like, they'll add a player or two here. They're not going to be, you know, game breakers per se, but you can't. And I there is a separate conversation I do want to touch on here as well, but like, the message is not LSU's NIL is failing them. The message is you have to approach it differently, which they will in the future and moving forward. The only part that I took issue with, it was kind of like from the 30-second clip, everybody just had these wild, you know, takes off of it more so, about whether it was LSU doing completely the right thing or LSU doing completely the wrong thing. I do think there is something to be said. Like, you do have to get a defensive tackle from this portal window, and you have to get it because ultimately right now it's just not good enough. And we're going to talk about that, but I don't think it would have been like the end of the world if they had paid a guy like not a million, but 600,000, 700,000, something like that. If you have,
that's still more than what the other guys on the team are, you know,
okay, getting. So if you had to overpay though, one of the things I heard was, well, it's not fair to Emory Jones and Will Campbell, which I understand that. But ultimately, if you are desperate and these players want to win, you have to kind of put up with it for a year. Like, it's just the situation you've been handed. Like, Will
if Emory, it were a quarterback, I think they would understand it. If it's a rotational DT, I think a lot of players on the team would be like, this kid just showed up, wasn't it spring ball, is going to be in a rotation at DT, and he gets – bigger NIL deals than anyone on the team. Like, if it was a quarterback, I'd agree. Not for a D tackle.
The situation is so dire right now. And Will and Emory just got done with a year where the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. Like, at some point, if I'm Will and Emory, I'm like, just give me a defense that can get a stop here, and we have a chance at winning a championship. Like, that's where I do, like, 1 million. Yes. Like, what they were asking. Yes. Too much. But like, if there was wiggle room here, I think you kind of had to do it as LSU, even if, like, I think Emory Jones and Will Campbell and these guys are mature enough to be like, we have to field a team that can win. And if that player was there and available, I'm not saying it was, but if that player was available for 600,000 or whatever they're making, I think you had to pull the trigger there. But that's not the case. But I do think, like, that was kind of overblown. Like, Will and Emory will be all pissed off and stuff. Like, this is, you got to win games here at this point. You have to feel the defense that's competitive. I thought that was kind of overblown a little bit.
Look, the spring portal window didn't give a ton. The highest ranked guys that came out in the spring portal window were Barrow and Dominic Williams. Like, those were the two highest ranked D tackles that came out uncommitted, didn't immediately get on with the school. And that's just where you are. That's not,
if they had asked for half the price, you think LSU should have done it?
Maybe. Yeah, I think LSU was prepared for something like that. And there was a feeling going into even discussions, and I talked to the other teams in the mix for these guys, the coaches, even the teams that won out, were the ones who were like not feeling good about having to do it.
Yeah.
Because it taught them a lesson of don't wait till this window, because the talent is demanding much more than what the value of it at the addition would be. I'll say this too, and we'll kind of wrap this thought up.
Yeah.
You give a lot of, you give NIL money to a guy like that. What happens is, and this is what college coaches at a lot of schools have told me, because LSU is one that's avoided this. As soon as you do it, it's out there. All these kids have agents. It spreads. It's not like someone's reporting it. They know it. They hear it. They then come back and say, okay, I've been here 2 years. I have actually started every game. You give me now more than that. Suddenly your roster goes from NIL budget doubles, right? You now have to pay everyone on the team more, or they're going into the portal. And that is just, we've seen team after team get hit by that already. LSU is putting their NIL resources largely into high school recruiting. And if you don't believe me, Brian Kelly's been here for 3 years. They've had the number 5 class, the number 4 class, and the number 1 class right now, including Bryce Underwood, the number 1 overall player, who's from Michigan. He's not from Baton Rouge or New Orleans or South. He's from Belleville, Michigan. If you don't think LSU's got their NIL stuff figured out on the high school front, I don't know what to say. If you don't think they've got it figured out on the team front, I don't know what to say. Did you see any mass exodus of players that are really good that were like, I'm going elsewhere for NIL? No, it was Lance Hurd was out of however many guys that left was the one who left. And it was because he was like, I'm not starting, so I'm going somewhere else. Like, I want to start right now. The portal, yes, you can address it. For Brian Kelly and them, high school and retention of the roster and development is the most important. Yes, they will not make the mistake of going to the spring portal again with a need. But you have to remember, in December, when the portal was open, LSU did not have a D-line coach. They played in a January bowl game where they played in the game. The next day, the portal closes. The day after that, Brian Kelly walks in the office and fires everyone on the defensive staff. Yes, he made quick work, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, hires everybody. But after about a week of the portal closing, classes started everywhere. So guys were already committing. No D-tack. Walter Nolan's not going to LSU without knowing who his D-line coach is, mm-hmm. or his DC or any of that. So they had no chance in the first window, and that's what leaves you here in the second window chasing pretty much anything that's out there.
It is going to be real interesting because it is still a very dire situation here, that defensive tackle.
I don't think it's the biggest issue on defense. I think people are forgetting that the defensive back, like, they had Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo, Jordan Jefferson, Guillory, all that last year, and they would get run on at times. The issue was they couldn't stop anybody throwing the football. They didn't bring in like all new players at those positions. They got new coaches.
Yeah.
But are we supposed to expect that like overnight Corey Raymond and Jake Olson will just have this like a lockdown D?
No.
So I still think people are completely forgetting.
Yes.
DT is not really even the biggest worry. Do they need to add people? Yes. But even when you add them, take a step back and say, what are you most worried about?
This defense is terrifying.
The DNs are great. The edge rushers are great.
And the linebackers. You can
pick Savion Jones or Shand inside on pass rush downs and be part of a rotation at DT. Like, they got some answers there. DB, you're rolling with who you have.
Yeah, and we'll talk about, I did a story on ranking LSU's position groups, and it sparked, I think, pretty good conversation on our board, and we'll talk about that. But to your point, my number 9 group was the cornerbacks. Like, that was the bottom, the last, dead last.
Until we see differently, there's no reason to have it higher. We'd like to. No. At this point, PJ Woodland might start. He's a true freshman. Like, we don't know how they're going to be. Now, yes, LSU's after DTs. Yes, LSU has open scholarship spots. Give you a couple names here. One of them, they offered this week out of Grand Valley State, where Brian Kelly won a couple national championships at the D2 level. But they have offered him before he was going to announce today. And a lot of people thought Florida State. He ended up redoing things, cut it down from 6 to 4 teams, eliminated Florida State. So now you're looking at JVR Suggs down to LSU, Michigan, Kentucky, Wisconsin. He is a Michigan native. He went to high school with Garrett Dellinger, who is one of LSU's starting offensive linemen, but also played this past year on the defense with Brian Kelly's youngest son, Kinzel, who also just finished up at Grand Valley State. So look for them to get a visit within the next week. I won't be surprised if they add him. Aiden Huntington at ULM is a guy that has not really said publicly where he's kind of leaning. He was an all Sun Belt player. I know beyond LSU, a lot of teams are looking for DTs, and a lot of coaches have said, we aren't sure if he's an end or a tackle. He's certainly not a nose. Like, if you really need tackles, can he take on that role? I think LSU feels good enough about him to say we would like to add him, so they're pursuing him. And then Pete Nakos at On3 gave us a third name to kind of keep an eye on in Brandon Lane, who is coming out of SFA, said that he's heard from LSU. I don't know about an offer, but it's evident, as we've maintained all along, that LSU watches every DT that hits the portal. And after they moved on from Barrow and Dominic Williams, here's this next wave. And I still think they'll add one more in addition to Gio Paez. And again, what was it? LSU2 is our promo code. LSU1 is LSU our promo
one.
Code.
LSU1. LSU1. I got
go
it.
Go to the Bengal Tiger. LSU1. Sign up. If you use the promo code LSU1, you get 2 months for a dollar. That'll carry you actually through camp season and official visit season. This will be the biggest stretch coming up over these next 2 months. Yeah. They had said, now I've lost my train of thought. Where was I going from the start?
Or LSU one still in your brain. The defensive tackle position, the ULM D tackle, Grand Valley State D tackle.
Yeah, they'll add at least one, if not two. I also won't be surprised at all if they add a guy or two before fall camp at positions that we're not even talking about, but they're close enough to the team to know, hey, we lost a couple guys here. We'd like to make the room a little bit more deep. Let's add this guy. And remember, unless it's an SEC school, because those guys do sign some sort of financial aid agreement and can't leave for another SEC school. Even if these transfer portal kids are committed elsewhere, until they go to that campus and enroll, it doesn't mean anything. So LSU is still recruiting guys who are committed out of the portal to other schools. That's one thing just to keep note of. But D tackle, yes, is the priority. And there's three names. Let's see what happens here over the next week or two.
I'm curious if – I know it didn't last year, but I'm curious if Paris Shand ever bumps inside this year. I know
Paris or Savion, choose your poison, of pass rush situations, you can kick one of them inside to DT. Wrap up the DT situation like this. They rotated four guys last year. Guillory got the least amount, Jefferson, Wingo, and Smith got the most. If you go four man again, you've got Guillory, you've got Paez from Wisconsin. That's actually what I was going to say. Sign up for the Bengal Tiger, LSU one, two months, $1. But Matty B just did a breakdown on Gio Paez, who is their lone DT addition right now out of Wisconsin. And he has starts, was going to start for them this year. So, let's not forget about him. You've got Guillory, you've got Paez, you have a five-star in Dom McKinley coming in. Even if Dom McKinley is the fourth man in that rotation, that's a win. I don't expect a freshman to start at DT, but can he give you some snaps? If he can be the fourth man in the rotation, great. Who's the third man? And the goal for them, so many LSU fans are just like, we need DTs. Doesn't even matter if he's a body, Adam. No, that's what got them in this situation, was just taking guys, because you lost three DTs who were not going to ever see the field here and left to see playing time elsewhere in December. And now you're in a situation where, is this guy good enough to be in that four-man rotation? Because if he's not, what makes him any different than the other DTs you've already got that you've been working with all spring?
Yeah.
What, it just gives you one more option out of those guys?
Yeah. I mean, they're not short on numbers, right? They're going to have seven. At this moment, they have seven, if you include Demarion Johnson and Dominic McKinley. Seven is a good number. So, yeah, you do need – it's about quality at this point, which, like we talked about, even the guys that – just signed did not choose LSU, those guys are not guaranteed to be significant upgrades over what you have immediately. So
that's what the staff is weighing with every guy. Are they good enough to be in that rotation this year? Because a lot of these guys they're recruiting are grad students or only have a year left or whatever it might be. So if you're taking them, are they good enough to be in that group? That's the question. So when you see offers go out or you see them pressing guys, they feel that those guys would be good enough to be in the rotation. And again, if you're kicking in a Shand or a Savion in certain situations, that moves the rotation to five guys. Like you, it just come away with one defensive tackle in addition to Pius that you feel good about, and you can kind of mix things around. If you get two you feel good about, great, but get one more.
Yeah. I don't have anything else really. We can go do an ad read, except the, I mean, I know they had corners. They reached out to some corners.
Really only one, the Wake Forest corner who went to Bama. Beyond that, and that's another thing, Corey Raymond is in a spot where why would I offer someone who's I don't think is going to be better than a healthy Zy Alexander or a developed Stamps or PJ Woodland or Toviano? I don't know, you know, but that's the exact same thing there. Yeah. Don't add anyone if they're not better than the guys you can just develop right now in the spring, summer, and as they get reps in the fall, they just get better and better because they have some young guys in that room who have some talent. They just unfortunately had to play them last year right away.
Yes. And then people on the board asked me, hey, why aren't they going after a punter since Brian Kelly was so upset with Peyton Todd after the spring game?
But a lot of the spring, he did not have negative things to say about punting. Yeah. He just seemed very upset about the spring game. We'll see. Aaron Burrell comes this summer. He was the number two kicker in the class coming out of Parkway in Bossier City. He can punt. I'm not familiar with who they have on roster as a walk-on who could punt, but it appears that they're going to at least move forward with Peyton Todd and whomever brings competition to that spot.
So, yeah, I wasn't sure if Burrell could punt, like how he was thought of as a punter.
So. I think he's supposed to be pretty good.
All right. Yeah, just we'll let him kick everything then.
Maybe they'll never punt.
Yeah, never punt.
No punts.
Never punt offense. That's what we like to have. All right, you can go to ad read.
I'll do the ad read. No problem at all. My perfect franchise. You guys know him, Andy Ludicky. Been with us for 2 years now. But Andy is the owner and operator of My Perfect Franchise. You can find it myperfectfranchise.net. And what he does is right there in the title. He helps people get into whether it's becoming a franchisee or at least wondering about owning a franchise, being part of one. How do you get started? How much money does it take? How much time does it take? Can I do it as a side hustle? Is this a good idea for my kid who's getting out of college to start to look into? These are all questions he says he gets asked all of the time. Here's the best part. It's free to call him and it's free to just get a consultation. So whether it's just trying to figure out, hey, look, I want to learn more about it, or I've already been in the franchise game. What do you think about kind of what I've done so far, what my next step should be? Any and all levels, beginner to expert, he's here. Services, again, 100% free to the Bengal Tiger customers to call him or send him an email. But his number is 404-973-9901. 404-973-9901. That's Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net. Again, he's a franchise consultant owner, and he just wants to help folks that find different franchises that fit skill sets, financial requirements, how much time you've got, all of that. So give him a call, give him an email, and again, 100% free to reach out. A lot of people have already talked to him, so he's always got his phone on him, and we talk to him plenty. He appreciates any and all feedback y'all give, and we thank everyone who has supported him so far.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. You want to tear apart your rankings?
Yeah, we'll end it with our position unit rankings. Now, a little note. I did include the defensive line all as one unit, defensive ends and defensive tackles. People asked me where I would have D tackles and D ends. If I had separated them, D ends would be significantly higher by themselves because, like we talked about, it's actually a pretty strong room. We'll get into that, but I broke it into tiers as well. So tier three, being the lowest tier, have to prove it. I have number 9 corners, 8 defensive line, 7 safety / star. So those were the bottom three. For me, cornerbacks, we talked about it. It's like, if you had to guess who the starters were going to be right now for game 1 against USC, it's who, Ashton Stamps and Toviano, like, assuming Zai doesn't come back at 100%.
I'm not counting out PJ Woodland.
Yeah, I put PJ Woodland in there as well. It's like, we've seen players that come back from Zai's injury. It takes time. Like, you know, even if you cleared 100%, like, it still takes time to get full belief back in that knee, that leg. So we'll see if maybe one of the Ohio State transfers has a good fall, can push up there, Jair Brown and J.K. Johnson. At the moment, I still think this is definitely the position group in the worst position going into 2024.
I don't think anybody would disagree, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier of the defensive performance a year ago. Like, yes, Corey Raymond is a great developer. Let's see how he does with these guys. At least maybe they'll be put in better positions than they were a year ago. And the same at safety, which we'll talk about in a second. I'm with you on like the D line. You ranked them 8, but that's as a group. You really brought them down big time because the DTs, had they not been in that, would not have them at 8. I love their D end and edge rushers. Like, yeah.
D end alone would probably be like 5th. Or so, 5th or 6th.
Okay.
I have to think about that.
I'd maybe go higher. I'm still a Savion Jones believer. I like Shand. Really like Swinson. Can't wait to see what Gabe Relifer does as he begins his career. Womack year 2, as I said. You've got other guys at that position too. Dylan Carpenter. I know Jackson Howard transferred out. But those two positions, edge and then your stand-up kind of edge rusher, D end and stand-up edge rusher. 2 I love and feel great about. Obviously, they have some worry at D tackle, but kind of not far off. Had you split these up, you might have gone back to back here at the bottom with safety right after corner as a worry spot. A year ago, they played Andre Sam and Major Burns for like 99% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Yates played some backup. By the end of the year, that was Kylan Jackson or Jordan Allen. But it belonged to Major and it belonged to Andre Sam. Andre Sam's moved on. They got Jarden Gilbert from A&M. He went to U High here in Baton Rouge. LSU really should have just gotten him out of high school. But their starting safety, or excuse me, Sage Ryan, has now moved back from what was not his position corner to play safety. And now you've moved Major Burns into this new Blake Baker star role, which I'll let you explain. What's your take on the star role, which is a third safety on the field for Baker, who plays closer to line of scrimmage?
Yeah, the way I word it is more of an aggressive nickel type. Like, he does a lot of nickel things, but like at the same time, he's more in the box. He has more run responsibilities. I am curious to see, like, in a full game, if you play like a spread offense or something like that, like, is it more Sage Ryan drops down, or is it Gilbert that drops down, or is it Burns who flanks out to guard the slot? So I think they're going to have some options there. I think ideally they want to keep Major Burns in that kind of box area, like on the edge of the box, to where he can play a lot of different things. So I think Burns is probably the least of my worries for this room. As far as like, I think he's going to be fine at the star position. The safeties are far more concerning to me. Sage and Jarden have to, they didn't have a great spring game. They're going to have to prove it to me. Against the run, really, in every asset, I think they're going to
have to prove it. All three of those guys have played a lot of SEC football. Yeah. So they've got experience. They're not rookies you're tossing out there. These guys are very experienced vets. So
I think it's going to be interesting how is this going to be what last year was, where they just play 99% of the snaps, or will we see? I think we have to see Kylan Jackson this
year. Well, and here's the thing. They actually do have a good young safety group between Deshaun McBride, Joel Rogers, and then, as you mentioned, Kylan Jackson, who's a year older than those guys. That's a good young group that just came through here.
Yeah. So I assume we have to see them in some capacity, whether they're – whether Ryan and Gilbert are playing well or not, I think you have to get Kylan Jackson and some of those guys in at times. So then we jump up to my tier 2, which is elite talent, but upside elite talent / upside, but questions. There you go. I have running back at 6, which could be low.
I would have flipped the two that you have. Tight end, running back at 5, 6. I would have flipped
those. I think Josh Williams, And then Trey Holly and Caden Durham and Caleb Jackson is a good running back room. But ultimately, like, it still is a question mark to me. I think Josh Williams is a fine back, but if Caleb Jackson isn't your running back one, I think Caleb Jackson has to be the best running back on this team to reach that potential. And maybe he is. I'm just interested to see how it goes. I can't pencil it in yet. So at five, at tight end, you have Mason Taylor, who I believe is going to be an all SEC tight end. So yeah. That probably
with Nussmeier at quarterback. Yes.
Yeah. With Nussmeier at quarterback, I think he's going to get a ton of catches. He might have as many yards as he had in his first 2 years combined this year. I wouldn't be shocked at that. So Mason Taylor, and then obviously Mac Markway, Kamorian Pimpton, and then Tre'Davious Green. That tight end room, I feel pretty good about. You could flip those, but I like the tight end room a little bit better.
I'm just going to – Tre'Davious Green's about to get here in the summer, and it's very tough to think that as freaky as he is, number two tight end in the country, five-star, that does he move him instantly to some, like, big role? I don't think so. We still haven't seen Kamorian Pimpton in action yet. So for me, that room is Taylor and Markway until I know what these other guys can do. Yeah. Like at running back, Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams, I think, will carry the bulk of it. But I know what Trey Holly can do. And I know that freshmen can play early at running back. And I know how good Caden Durham is. So yeah. Those guys, I think, as long as no one gets hurt, they're fine there.
Yeah.
Tight end, I love Mason Taylor. Love what Mac Markway does. I need to see what Pimpton can do this year.
Yeah, and for those who haven't on the board, I've said this on the board about a million times. I think Tre'Davious Green is a significantly better prospect than Kamorian Pimpton was. I was a little bit lower on Pimpton than I think the consensus was. I just think Green checks all the boxes. Now, as a blocker, sure, yes, but as a receiver, he's a lot sharper than I think Pimpton was, a lot more well-rounded than Pimpton was as a prospect. So I'm interested to see, like you said, what Green looks like. And I've said it before, if they can somehow unlock Green or Pimpton in this offense, I think it takes it to another level. So we'll see. And then tier one, I have four groups here. Some people ask, are all these championship level? That's why I titled the tier. Four, I have quarterback. Three, I have receiver. Two, I have linebacker. One, I have offensive line. I have quarterback at four mostly because last year, I think it was one or two because Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier. Now it's just Garrett Nussmeier, and we haven't, he's incredibly talented, but he's not as seasoned or as polished, and we'll have to see what he looks like for a whole season. Then you have AJ Swan, Ricky Collins, who are good backups, but we'll see how they do. So I've hit the quarterback four, receiver three, linebacker two, offensive line one. Any of those you have a problem with?
So I agree that O-line's the best unit on the team. They return four starters, and I think that they probably, in their mind, maybe over time, get more out of the center spot than they did prior. With that, the only one you're having to move to somebody new, and you move to DJ Chester, who's a great young player. Without a doubt, number one. I guess I could debate linebacker, receiver, but I don't really care. 2-3, that's fine. I'm a big Greg Penn fan, and that probably puts linebacker over the top for me. People hate on Greg Penn. I've never been in that camp. That's the same people that hated on Damone Clark. Give me Greg Penn. Baker clearly loves him. Baker recruited him out of high school. Like, he's back with him now, so I'll rock with it. I like that order.
Yeah. So
I thought CJ Daniels, and look, he may put up monster numbers this year. To me, it's very clear that after spring, Kyron Lacy and Chris Hilton are the two best receivers they've got.
See, I disagree. I think CJ Daniels is better than
maybe him. So.
Pretty comfortable. But like,
I'll put him right there with it.
That's where somebody asked me if I thought receiver was championship level, quote unquote, right? Because that's the tier I have them in. I saw a ranking. I don't remember who it was. It might have been On3, it might have been somebody else. But they did the top 10 receiving corps in the country, and they had LSU at 8, which just off the top of my head feels fair. Like, it doesn't feel like too high or too low. I'd have to look into it more. But like, if you have the 8th best position group in the country as a team, I think that makes you like that position group is then championship level, right?
I say this all the time. No never once will I ever worry about what LSU has at receiver, because, and the point I always make is try to think of what you would have considered a down year where they didn't have like five stars at receiver and high four stars. DJ Chark and Russell Gage were the receivers. They're starting NFL receivers now. Like, these Louisiana will give it to you. Kyron Lacy's your number one. He's from Louisiana. Chris Hilton's your two or three. He's from Louisiana. You got Daniels out of the portal. Neighbors and Thomas were from Louisiana. And then we get right into this group of, they went and got Xavion Thomas, brought him back home from state, from Louisiana. Aaron Anderson, they went and got him from Bama, brought him back home from Louisiana. Shelton Sampson from Baton Rouge. Kyle Parker is the only one who's from East Texas in this group. Yeah. So they've stuck to East Texas and Louisiana wide receiver recruiting. That's the formula. You do not need to go anywhere else. I'm fine with CJ Daniels. He had great production at Liberty. He's a Georgia native. They produce talent, but don't fly me all over the country for receivers. Get the kids that are right here.
I'll also say Kylan Bilyeu, I think is, I said this on the board. I think
about as Louisiana as you can get.
He puts immediate pressure on everybody else in the room. That's not proven. That basically that's not Kyron Lacy. He puts pressure on everybody else to be like, hey, and we got this guy coming. Like, there's already good competition, but and we have Bilyeu coming in who's gotten significantly better just since the end of his senior year of high school. Like, he's someone who's shot up the rankings for a reason. Like, so.
And Ibiet has been battling hip injuries, but another Louisiana guy. So they've got a talented receiver room. I mean, I do not want us to skip over the impact that guys like Xavion Thomas or Anderson or maybe Kyle Parker and Sampson could have in games this year. So,
yeah, that plenty of a lot better depth than last year. That is for sure, especially with Aaron Anderson coming off the injury.
Jaden Daniels wasn't throwing that thing to nobody but two people. And if Kyron Lacy got the ball, he was happy about it. So,
yeah. So,
I agree. I'm fine with this championship level group.
Yeah. Now, like 2 through 4 can be switched any which way. I wouldn't have a problem with it, really. Perkins, Weeks, and Penn as your linebacker, like three linebackers in theory. That's just a lot of talent. So,
let's wrap up the pod by this. I want to give numbers on this before we roll. Last year, they finished with the number one offense, the number 113 total defense, I believe it was. I'm not going to Google it again. It will make y'all sick to hear. It's probably worse than that. So, we'll just go with 113. It's like the 2019 season. You had the best guys ever. You had best offense ever, all this stuff. You are going to take a step back. What is the range that you're comfortable that you'd like to see the offense and defense finish in overall? And I'll go first. I would be totally fine trading out from a year ago, the number one offense and number 113 defense for the number 20 to 30 offense, 15 to 30 offense, and a top 60 defense.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be realistic.
No, you are. I think the offense, like the defense, yes, that is probably best case scenario, like 60, 70 range in there, which is fine. I think the offense has to be 10 to 20 range.
Okay. Well, that's easily within reach, but the thing will be, this is going to be an offense that looks nothing like last year's because they are running the football without the quarterback.
Yeah.
Going to be a big thing to watch.
It's going to be different. They should be stylistically, philosophically, a different offense.
I will also say this, though, and this is something people are not thinking about. Yes, and Brian Kelly talked about how all we were pulling and stunts and all these different things that we were teaching the O-linemen because now we need to really establish the run game with the running backs. Their O-line is actually built for the run game. Like Emory Jones, Campbell, Dellinger, Frazier, Chester, these are maulers who were pass pro and all last year and then letting Jaden take off. This suits what they actually are more than Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I mean, Emory Jones is supposed to be a guard, right? Dellinger.
Yeah, he'll be a guard in the NFL, I think.
Yeah.
But like these guys want to put their hands on you and drive you.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get a lot more chances to do that this year.
Yeah. I will say I'm becoming, even as, you know, the defense is what it is to a degree, like I'm becoming more and more enamored with this offensive potential. Like I'm becoming But who knows? By July, I might be saying this is the best offense in the SEC. I think they have a very good shot at that right now. So I'll have to dive into the rest of the conference. But I'm starting to really, especially obviously at me as a Nussmeier believer, I can just see this offense starting to come together and be like, hey, there's a lot of ways this could be like a top five offense in the country again. So
that would be massive. Hey, and let's not forget Blake Baker was at Missouri for 2 years as DC, and he took them into a top 35 defense both years. So,
yeah. Yep. And he did that with some three stars at corner and safety and D line. He was really, really well coached defense there, obviously. All right. That's all we had for y'all today. Shay, we said 30 minutes. We got out of here in 40, so not too bad. Here's the code again, code LSU1. For 2 months, it's on the Bengal Tiger for $1. So use that code. Check us out. Come talk on our message board, which is always lively one way or another. Shay and I have been doing – we've been doing our Wordles every morning. You do connections too, right?
I do everything. I'm just trying to beat Holy Bull and the New York Times Mini. One day, I got 30 seconds yesterday, and I posted it and thought, today's the day. And yeah. Then he and his wife got like 17 seconds and 19 seconds or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that. I've never been great at it. It's a crossword puzzle, right?
Yeah, but it's just a mini one. There's only like 10 questions.
Okay. We'll see. I might have to join y'all. But yeah, I'm on the Wordle over there. So yeah, all that kind of – all different types of stuff. Everything for everybody.
Yeah, we're doing everything under the sun on the board. Hell, the dollar is worth it for the price of admission on the board, let alone all the scoop we're bringing. So
I know. So, yeah. So join us there. We thank y'all for joining us. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're listening on the audio side. Leave us a like, comment, share, and subscribe on the YouTube side. We'll be back. We'll be consistent. And I'm sure Billy and Shay will be talking about recruiting fairly soon.
Yeah, we'll get one next week. We'll have a recruiting pod.
Yep, for sure. So, thank y'all for joining us. We will talk to y'all later.